The following is a Cast Wave Studios production.
Regeneration Who, it's not the show name. I'm sorry. Welcome to Impromptu Who at Regeneration Who 2. I have the great honor and pleasure of interviewing Angela Pritchett.
Hi, everyone.
Now, Angela, a funny story. So we actually wanted to interview Angela at last year's Regen, but due to time constraints and obviously she's running the press department for this convention, things just kept coming up. Mostly on our end, just because we had so many people we had to cover and we didn't want to interrupt, so.
You guys are busier than I am.
Well, I wouldn't say that. So, you run the press department here at Regeneration Who.
Mm-hmm.
You work with Onizumi and Hartnell on their cons, but you're also an actor.
Yes.
And actually, you just did the remake for Plan 9 from Outer Space.
I just did, it was about 4 years ago when we filmed.
But it just got released, right?
It just got released in the U.S. It was released last year in Australia.
Really?
Yeah, it was released straight to DVD in Australia last year. And actually about almost exactly a year ago, it was last February.
Now, was there a reason for that? For the delay? Or did you just have to get rights in those countries?
The group distributing it wanted to do a, they didn't want to do a domestic distribution, but mm-hmm. Darkstone, when they signed the contract, said it has to be released here because a lot of John's fans really wanted to see it.
Right.
So that was part of their distribution. It just took longer because domestic distribution in the U.S. for hard DVDs and all of that is not quite as big of a market, whereas in other countries it is.
Right. Now, obviously, obviously, Plan 9 from Outer Space is one of those films that's, like, on, like, the best of the worst list.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Right. So now, when you were there remaking it, were you expecting to do, like, sort of a rehash of, like, the campiness of the original film, or
No. I actually was one of the lead makeup artists on it as well, so I did most of the special effects for the film.
Right.
And we filmed the entire film over a 6-week period.
Mm-hmm.
And then pick up shots and everything for specific small
right.
things. But no, we knew it was going to be a serious-minded style remake. It does have a little camp if you watch it. It is a horror movie.
What?
Or an indie horror film.
Right.
And but no, John and Mariah, his wife, are very good friends of mine. So I hang out at their house all the time. So I got to kind of be like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Right. No, so would you say the experience was an overall great one? I mean, obviously, as an actress, you know, you work on small films, big films. Where would you say this would scale out?
It was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
We all had, there were two houses. There was a production house, and then there was a house that a lot of the crew and some of the actors and stuff stayed in, because it was 6 weeks. We filmed in Roanoke, Virginia, and it was over a 6-week period where there really wasn't any, like, it was nonstop. I was working part-time as a music teacher, going to grad school full-time, and working on Plan 9 at the time. So I was at work in grad school 2.5 days a week, and then for the rest of the week, I drove 2 hours to Roanoke and worked on this film for the rest of the week.
How?
I by the time it was done, I kind of sat down and I went, I should be doing something. I feel like I should be doing something. What am I forgetting?
Yeah. It's like you're so amped. It's just like, wait, I'm stopping.
It was
a lot
of adrenaline, a lot of Dr. Pepper. A lot of Starbucks. I think Mariah and I lived off of Taco Bell and Starbucks for most of that 6 weeks.
Ooh. That's a hard diet to bounce back from. No?
No.
No?
No, okay. I have a stomach of steel.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so let's talk about Regeneration Who 2. Now, this is the second year we've done it here at the same location, and new guests.
Yes.
Last year was Sylvester, Colin. We also had... Nicola,
yeah.
And
Sophie was here last year. We had Colin, the other Colin.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? We had Nev again. and
yeah, so a lot of return guests this year. Yeah, yeah. Terry Collin being amongst, you know, the chief ones. But then we have Peter Davidson coming back.
Oh, yes. And Peter Davidson is a marvelous person. He is so nice.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of, I mean, it's like 80s Doctor Who. I mean, obviously Tom Baker was 1980, but then Peter took the reins for the first half of the 1980s. And then Collin sort of took it around mid-80s. And then Sylvester took it for the last portion of the 80s. But he was more the sort of younger, fresher face.
Was the youngest at the time.
Yeah. And it's always interesting because you see him come back in the later iterations of the Doctor, like, again, David Tennant's run, which I always thought, I don't remember if he was, his daughter was married to David at that point or if it was later in the series, but I always thought that was interesting to find out later on that he had married David's.
Oh, watching Time Crash is just like, it pulls at the heartstrings.
It does.
That episode, like, it makes me tear up, and it's only like 5 minutes long, or not even that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Favorite moment of the con thus far? Now, I know you've been doing a lot of running around, but.
I just finished interviewing Dominic Glenn, and that was really fun. And if you don't know who Dominic Glenn is, he composed a lot of the music for Sebastian McCoy's tenure as the Doctor. So the Happiness Patrol, stuff like that. So, I mean, I actually got to sit down, and I'm trained as a music person. I have a bachelor's degree in music education. I have a master's degree in ethnomusicology.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to get to sit down and talk Doctor Who music and talk music in general, because when he was composing, like, he was talking about 8-tracks, cassette tapes, early synthesizers from the 80s, and so it was
giant
stuff.
Moog synthesizers.
Someone made a joke, they raised their hand and asked what a cassette tape and an 8-track was, and I was just like, oh.
No, don't.
Even
don't
I know
there.
What those are, because I was towards the end of that.
Now I feel old. That's not nice.
You're not that. You, I have to be older than you.
How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
You never ask a lady her age.
Well, here's the thing. I say mid-20s.
Oh.
Maybe
thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, same thing. How old do you think I am?
I was born the year Return of the Jedi came out.
Okay, so you are older than me, but only by a year and a half. I was born in 85.
So 83.
Okay. Yes, so I was born in 83. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
I was 87 or so.
So see, I told you.
But not by much, though. I mean, but I don't look it. I have eternal baby face going
here. You do.
I mean, even my child beard can't trick people. It's awful. Anyway, so
grow it out. Be like a metal star. Like, braid it.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about going for the Gimli look if I could pull it off, but it doesn't grow any evenly. So I have to froof it
you
up.
You have to trim it.
Yeah, if you groom it right, it'll start growing better.
Well, one can only hope. So let me ask you this. So two cookbooks now.
Yes.
So we have Shut Up and Eat Part 1 and Shut Up and Eat Part 2. Now, there is an official Doctor Who cookbook, but
yes, and it is fantastic. It's so cheesy and like cheeky. If you actually get to look at it, it is amazing.
Yeah.
There's photos of Nicola and Colin Baker in it, like cooking, and they're like smiling at the camera. It is fantastic.
Okay, so what was that? Mid to late 80s when it came
out? Yeah, it was around there.
Okay, and so they never did like a re-release for like the newer ones?
They are actually releasing a new Doctor Who cookbook later this year.
Hmm.
And it's going to be official BBC. Nice. I actually read something about that. I don't know much else, but I've heard that that's one of the things that BBC is bringing out. So I'm excited for that.
Right. Now, you've created two of them, though. So what was the impetus behind that? I mean, obviously, fan of Doctor Who, or else you wouldn't be here. But what was like, I was just like, I like these recipes. I think I could put a sort of Doctor Who style on them.
Well, I love to cook. Yeah. That's one thing. I cook a lot. Like, I'm one of those people where I like to go out and eat, but I don't like to just take a microwavable meal out and put it in the microwave.
Right.
I like to actually prepare something good. And so I had this idea because there's another Doctor Who cookbook out, and she did like all the episodes together in the same one. And so I was like, well, I want to do something different. And I made sure, like, I own both of those. I own the original one, and I own the other one that's unofficial. And so I looked at them, and I was like, I want something different. I want to make sure that mine is not the same, because, one, as long as they're both quality, all three of them, fans will buy all of them. But I want to make sure that they're not buying the same thing.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I could do it by season.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have Shut Up and Eat 1, which is the unofficial Doctor Who Series 8 cookbook, which is spelled A-T-E instead of with the number.
Gotcha.
And so I took that and I was like, okay, I can do a full meal for every episode, and that will give me enough to actually have a cookbook that is good enough to release. The cookbook is just under 90 pages, total, and it has, for every episode, an appetizer, an entree, a dessert, and 1 to 2 drinks.
Oh, okay, so it's not just,
it is
like
a full meal for every episode. It is great for, like, those Doctor Who parties.
Ooh. Not gonna happen. Right, so, and so I assume the next one, Shut Up and Eat Part 2, which is just
Series
come out.
9, Ready to Series Dine. 9. It came out Tuesday of this week, right before the convention.
Nice. So I obviously sold out, right?
I did sell out of them. I think that the artist who is up in Ginger, who is up in the artist alley upstairs, actually still has some, though.
Oh, okay. Because I was actually like, I want to grab one. It's like, I'm sad.
And so, she's from Illinois, so it's that one thing where this is one of the few conventions we're both at at the same time.
All right, so... so obviously you're going to keep continuing on in seasons. Have you started on the next one? Or?
We've not, because there's not a new season yet. So we're thinking about possibly backtracking and either staying with New Who or going to Classic Who, which is something I think would be really fun. And but I'm not going to jump right into Doctor Who. I actually have a horror cookbook that Ooh. I had started before Shut Up and Eat One that's halfway finished. It has... it's a B-movie horror cookbook, so it has public domain... it's recipes based off of public domain films, and then some of the indie films I've been in. So some of the Razor Sharp Pork Chop films, Darkstone films. It's got about 4 recipes from each of those movies that I've worked on as well. And it's really, really fun. Like, I started working on that, and then I was like, well, I want to do this Doctor Who one. And so I just set that aside, and then spent the next 8 months of my life working on a cookbook.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so... another question I want to ask, because we've covered so much. We've covered cooking and Doctor Who.
How did you guys enjoy the con?
Oh, I love the con.
I'll totally jump into a question.
Okay. All right. I will say this much. So, obviously, it's growing exponentially. I mean, this is bigger than last year.
Oh, yeah. We're really excited.
Yeah. And so, obviously, I assume they're going to stick with the same hotel next year.
I would assume that too. I'm not sure because I run press, and Oni and James are actually the ones that run the show. Mm-hmm. So that would be along them. I don't know if we've outgrown the hotel, if we're going to stay here. I love this area. I love this hotel and everything. So, I mean, Hunt Valley, I used to come here for Horror Find years and years ago. So I've been to a lot of conventions in this hotel. So I don't know, though. I mean, like, I'm excited to see what they have planned for next year, because this year's region was amazing.
Right. And it's just like, you know, how much bigger could you get?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. It's one of the best.
I do know that Oni wants to keep the fan experience very personal. So I know that she's going to have a cap if it comes into it. She's not just going to keep letting it get to the point where it's huge and huge and huge, because then you don't have as fun of an experience.
You know, and that's interesting that you mentioned that, because the last sort of festival con/festival we went to is, I don't know if you're familiar with MAGFest.
Mm-hmm. I know what MAGFest is.
Love MAGFest. It's just, this year, it seems like it's starting to get too big. You know what I mean? It's like, that's like, also like, regen has grown exponentially year after year after year. Last year was like 17,000. I think this year they said they capped out at 20,000. And I'm just like, you know, have fun, but some of the things that I enjoyed from previous years, I don't get to enjoy anymore.
Well, MAGFest is at the Gaylord, too, so it's a huge venue as it is.
Right. And
because we have KatsuCon there, too, and I run one of the costume contests at KatsuCon.
How many things do you run?
I work for about 16 conventions.
Good God.
And some of them I'm a guest at, and then most of them I run stuff at.
Okay. All right, so
I enjoy going to cons. I've been going to them since I was 12.
Oh, no. You're preaching to the choir. We love cons, too. So what would you say, where would you like to see at next year's regen?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, I love, guest-wise, really anyone. All of the Doctor Who guests are just so friendly and so nice and so personable that it's just amazing. Like, Terry, who I became friends with last year, just messaged me and was like, hey, I'm doing this Davros variety show. You play ukulele. Come play ukulele with us on stage. And I was like, okay, sweet. And he was actually amazing enough. I just released a short film called The Thicket, which is written by me and directed by Mariah Johnson and myself. And it's a 15-minute horror film that is now making the festival run. And Terry actually did a voice for it. There's a part where my character in the film is talking on the walkie-talkie to someone, and Terry's the voice that's responding to me.
Nice.
So it's one of those things where the actors and the community and everything is just so wonderful and so supportive, and it's they're just such great people to like interact with at the convention. You look, you sit there and just stand back and watch them while they're talking to the fans at the table, and they're just so nice. And it's every, like both years, no matter who I'm talking about, it's fantastic. So really, I'm excited for anyone that we invite next year.
Great. All right, so let me ask you this: with all the things you do, are there anything? Is there anything upcoming that you want to sort of plug?
Well, Shut Up and Eat 2, which just came out this week. It's available on Amazon, or it's available through me at conventions. I always keep copies with me. I actually sold out this weekend because we had a book release party since it came out this week. We actually planned it to come out since Ginger was here, Kara was here, and I was here.
And, you were literally walking around handing out cookies from the
Yes, I actually made cookies from the first book because I worked a convention last weekend and had like maybe a day. So I sat there and made cookies for the release party. And so I took some to like the guest and gave a couple out. And, but no, The Thicket, it's going to be playing at a couple conventions. It's going to be playing in film festivals, which I post about on all my social media networks when it has stuff like that. And Plan 9 just came out. It's available on streaming on demand. The DVD is going to come out later this year. We don't know when yet. They haven't really given us a date. I'm trying to think. I have a short film that's kind of making the runs all around. It stars Tommy Dreamer.
Ooh.
He's part of House of Hardcore.
Yep.
Monique Dupree is also in it. She's one of the valets for House of Hardcore, which is a wrestling company that's not... It's, I guess, right below the main one. I don't know. Tommy Dreamer was just on, like, the big... Is it WWE stuff?
Well, he got famous in ECW and then he went to WWE.
He runs House of Hardcore now. And so I did a film called Shadowhunters Devil Speak, where it's me, Matthew Ewald, who was in a show called Galador in the early 2000s. It played alongside Power Rangers on Fox Television.
That's right.
And Tommy Dreamer, John Johnson, Monique was in it, and she's been sending it around to film festivals. She sells it at the shows that they do and everything. So it's a fantastic short film as well.
Great.
Well,
thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
A couple minutes out of your busy day, but I mean, it's an honor and a pleasure.
No, I'm glad I got to talk to you guys.
Yes, finally.
I know,
somebody
we've been talking about it for so long.
It's a lot of fun, and we're obviously going to see you at Intervention.
Yes, I will be at Intervention.
Yes, so Intervention, if you haven't come to Regeneration 2, and why didn't you? But if you can't make it to Regeneration 2, make it out to Intervention, because that's just as much fun.
Intervention is in September, and it is September 16th through the 18th, and it is in Maryland. Check it out online,
interventioncon.com. Yep.
And that is another Onizumi event, which you should definitely check out. Oni runs some pretty fantastic conventions.
Obviously, as...
Yes, as this weekend has shown.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for coming on Impromptu Who.